WKCO, it is the trifecta. Roger still hasn't figured out yet what the string, the thread is through the music that I'm playing today. He'll figure it out sooner or later.
I was indisposed.
I know you were. You're always indisposed.
I was in the bathroom.
Should have stuck with indisposed, dude.
Oh.
Trust me.
I'm a class A.
Yes, you are. It is the trifecta, and we're, of course, at 382-4280, 1-877, 382-4280, and the smarmy and snarky texts can go to 80373. We did have a text. I have serious doubts that tearing down the historic buildings on East Campus will do anything to slow tuition and fee increases at Western. For Western to claim that it might is flat out lying. I don't think they're claiming that that's specifically going to happen. What I think they're claiming is that it's sucking away resources that could be put to better use, possibly in assisting the students. That's the issue here.
Yeah,
those buildings are costing money.
They were unused.
Yeah.
They were abandoned, and yet they had to be kept. They had to maintain them.
Yes, they did.
So they didn't become a danger to the community.
So anyway, yeah, that's, you know, I don't think Western ever came out and claimed that. I'm just saying that it has been intimated that, you know, this money could be put to better use, and it probably will be now. So,
and if they were building something new in the place of these buildings, this person's criticism might be valid,
mm-hmm.
but they're not going to build anything there.
No,
they're just getting rid of the building.
Yes, except for one, East Hall, and they're going to turn that into the new alumni center.
And that's the one you see from the community.
Exactly.
That's the one with real historic significance. Yes,
it is.
Yeah.
So, all right, you want to bring in our guest?
Sure.
All right, once again, we welcome in political commentator and all-around nice guy, Tim Skubick. And the reason he's nice is because He'll talk to us. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
His taste is questionable, but
I guess that would make me not a nice guy, eh?
Yeah, you'd be lumped in with the rest of us. Tim Skubick, of course, is a host of a political show. And you know what? I'm drawing a blank here on WKAR in East Lansing. And is also off the record, thank you.
There we go.
And is also a frequent political commentator on MLive and some other places. And that's why we're going to talk to you today, because of a couple of columns that you've had. One that I was really...
You read that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You kidding me?
Gosh, holy mackerel. I got to tell my mother.
There you go. Yeah.
There's actually two of us that read your stuff.
This is true. I really liked your column on what you would do about Reese Priebus's threat. We're going to pull our debates off. Yeah, go for it, buddy.
Yeah, for the people that are not completely up to speed, here's what happened. NBC and CNN are going to put on documentaries and miniseries on the Hill, Hillary Clinton. And the chairperson of the National Republican Party said, whoa, that looks like free publicity, free campaign fodder for a person who may be running for president, and I don't like it. And so, you know what? You guys better not run that stuff, or I'm not going to take any of my debates to your... to your networks. This is a no-brainer, guys. You simply say, hey, that's what you want to do, go for it. We're doing what we think is right. And you know what? There's all sorts of ways to address this. They can do a mini-series on the guy or lady who's running on the Republican ticket under the fairness doctrine, even though it doesn't exist. So it's much to do about nothing. But the hand-wringing from the networks is like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Hey, guys, suck it in. You make the decision and let the chips fall where they may. It's what we call good journalism.
Well, Tim, and who did away with the equal time requirement?
I think that was Ronald Reagan. Was he president once? That was a little bit before my time. You guys would remember that.
And he's a Republican, too, right?
He was, but yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't know what the fairness doctrine was. It simply said to broadcasters, and it's a good idea, if you present one side of the story, you have an obligation to your public to present the other. We ought to be doing that without the fairness doctrine anyway, but there's all sorts of ways to get around this potential problem, and it's much to do about nothing.
Hey, Tim, we talked briefly about this yesterday, and I suggested this really has more to do with the Republicans wanting fewer debates than it has with controlling what media does. They saw what happened in the last election when you had a mob of people on the stage saying things about each other that was tearing the Republican Party apart. The vulture capitalism comment on about Romney, a classic comment in a debate. Do you think the Republicans are just trying to reduce their debate exposure?
I think they are doing that on their own. I think they decided that 32 was probably maybe 28 too many after the round of debates. I think they were headed in that direction. I actually think this one is just a separate complaint that they don't want Hillary Clinton getting any free publicity. But look, I don't want to be on the record as against debates. I make a living off of doing debates, and more importantly than my living, I think this is important for the viewers and the listeners and the readers to see these candidates in a face-to-face a format that allows them to interchange, and it's up to the party how many they want to do. I'm not saying they can't do that. They can have as few as they want. But I think debates are important, and they should be done. But yeah, it got a little, you know, who can forget the Texas governor
last
memory not being able to come up with three things, and he turns to Ron Paul for help, of all people.
Oops.
When you do a lot of debates, some bad things happen.
My favorite phrase in this whole article, first is, quote, using the quoting fingers, first of all, nobody watches documentary anymore anyway, and a miniseries on Hillary Clinton will be viewed by two people, her and you-know-who and maybe Chelsea. I'm guessing you-know-who's the president, right?
Yes.
President Obama?
That was kind of hyperbole. Unfortunately, people don't watch documentaries like they used to. I'm old enough to remember CBS Reports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guys like Eric Severide and Ed Merle and people like that. Those days are long gone because, unfortunately, and you guys know this better than anybody, the attention span of the public out there is about the length of a gnat, and you can't ask them to sit down for an hour and a half to digest something. What we have with documentaries and miniseries, you have a select part of the audience, a niche audience, that will watch and does get information from that, but the general public basically ignores them. And I think that's unfortunate.
Mm. Well, and CNN has no viewers anymore anyway.
Well, I'm not qualified to make that judgment.
Roger seems to think so. So, you know, that's... Talking with Tim Skubick, an MLive political columnist, and, of course, the host of Off the Record, WKAR. Do you want to ask one more about this before I go on to the next one?
Well, I had...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I had one more question. Do you think Rince Priebus is going to be successful?
Well, I don't know. I'm venturing into territory that I did not cover. I was sort of reacting viscerally to the whole exchange.
Uh-huh.
My guess is that he will hold out, and if the networks do what's right, they will put these shows on and let the chips fall where they may. I think it would be unprecedented if they were to fold, my word, to that kind of pressure, because where does that stop? That means the political parties are now making decisions in the newsroom, and the last time I checked, that probably is not pretty good for our democracy.
No, not really. And truth to tell, this guy would be better off paying attention to making sure things don't happen again the way they happened in the last election.
Yeah, I mean, a little damage control. He's got a right to say whatever he wants. It's still a free country, but that doesn't mean that the networks have to just fall in line and say, "Oh, yes, sir. I guess we better not do those shows."
No, that doesn't sound right. A second article. This is of the two, this is my favorite one,
okay.
Because you can, if you really are a political junkie, you can see this is what's going to happen. It's almost like democracy by default, kind of, and that is that of course, we're trying to figure out how we're going to do this thing with the roads, and try to get more money to the schools, and be a lawmaker that doesn't raise taxes. And so I love the math in this. Tim's article is really, it gets to me. And you can go to MLive if you want to see it. So $1.2 billion, with a B, collected at the gas pump from that sales tax. But $700 million goes to the schools, another $500 to cities. So if you divert it, then, yeah, the governor gets his $1.2 billion. But then schools and towns and cities are going to be screaming.
Right.
So instead, they think they've come up with an idea to possibly make that money up, and that being a one penny sales tax increase. But I believe in order to do that, they have to ask voters in the state of Michigan.
Right.
And so it's kind of like, okay, you guys decide. But they're going to wrap it in political logic, if there is such a thing, and maybe like military intelligence, you know, mutually exclusive terms, mm-hmm. political logic and responsibility handling, that we really, this, if you vote for this, this, it's one penny, but it's going to go to education. Dun, 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 you know, so.
Well, to be fair here, if they want to raise the sales tax by a penny, by the Constitution, it has to go to the voters. However, there are other ways to raise the sales tax money by, for example, imposing the sales tax on services. Play golf, go to the cleaners, hire an accountant. So they do have the option to raise this money on their own through the legislative process. But because this is on the eve of an election, the easier way politically for them is to put this on the ballot and let the people decide. And so when the lawmaker goes home and says, I didn't vote to raise your sales tax, I just gave you a chance to do that. They are being genuine. It is truthful, but there are other ways they could have done it as part of their job, but they apparently are not going to do that. And let's emphasize here, this is not a done deal yet. We'll know by September 4th whether this is going to be on the ballot. The governor and the legislative leaders are meeting, and there's a new wrinkle in the tapestry here. And that is, the education lobby is not satisfied with just getting back the $1.2 billion that they would lose. They want more on top of that. And the Senate Democratic leader, Gretchen Whitmer, is pushing for that. And this could just throw a whole monkey wrench into the whole thing. So this is not a done deal yet, but this is where they're headed, I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess my next question is, would it be detrimental to the Democrats to let this grind to a screeching halt because they want more money?
They're caught between a rock and a hard place here. Look, they know if more money is spent on the roads, that means jobs, okay? And Democrats tell us they are all about jobs. So on one hand, they want to have that money go to the roads so that jobs can be created. But on the other hand, they also know, and they have a political issue, that the Republicans have been cutting education left and right, although there was an increase this year. But the Democrats would say it doesn't keep pace with inflation, and so they want to have it both ways. They want to do the roads, and they want more money for the schools. And the governor, who politically in the polling data is vulnerable on cutting aid to education, I think will probably get on board of this so he can say, hey, I did something to bring more money into the schools. So everybody's jockeying for position right now as these negotiations unfold, and where it comes out, just as they say in the biz, stay tuned.
Do you think, and this just popped into my head, do you think they would go for a 2 cent instead of a 1 cent? Because if it's 2 cent, it's $2.4 billion, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they're talking about a 1.5 cent sales tax increase. If you get to 2, the problem is it puts you out of step with neighboring states who have a sales tax lower than ours. Now, I don't know if that is important or not, but I've heard people talk in those terms. You don't want to get too high on the sales tax because then you're not competitive with other states.
All right. Well, that would make sense.
The beauty of this plan, however, is if they get to the $1.2 billion for the roads without having to raise the gas tax or fees on car registration, it's already being collected at the pump right now today as we sit here. And so all they have to do is divert it away from the schools and the cities, and voila, they've got their money for the roads without having to put up a yes vote to do it. You follow me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in an election year, that could be just incredible.
It's dicey, as we say in the biz, guys.
Plausible deniability.
Yes.
I like that. Can I steal that from you?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. Listen, Tim, is there? Oh, go ahead, Raj.
Well, I was going to change the subject, so finish up. I thought we were done. And
I was going to just tell people where they could find Tim, but go ahead.
Tim, what do you think is going to happen on Medicaid?
I think they're going to pass something. I think what we're going to see in the Senate on August 27th, they will pass three plans. The Caswell plan, the Senator Colbeck plan, and then the one that this work committee has worked out that the governor endorses. This is sort of as a courtesy to the two senators who want to go a different direction. They will send that stuff over to the House, and theoretically the one plan will pass and the other two will die, although nothing in this business is assured. But that's the way it looks from 30,000 feet right now, but a lot can happen between now and then. The Tea Party is very upset. upset. It is applying pressure to Republicans, saying you guys better not vote for this stuff, or we'll put a primary opponent against you in the election next year. Whoa, guys don't like that. So this is all in play, but I think at the end of the day, they will do something.
Okay.
All right.
Always good talking with you, Tim.
Yeah. Now, you can find Tim's Off the Record with Tim Skubick anytime at video.wkar.org. Where can they find your blog and your articles and stuff?
Just go to mlive.com and look for my ugly picture.
Oh, no. It's a very handsome picture, actually.
Yeah, but I got a face made for radio, which is why this works between the three of us.
Tim makes two of that. Yeah, I was going to say it makes two of us, big boy. Trust me. Tim, let's...
hey, guys, it's always a pleasure. Please keep me in the loop, okay?
We will. We have Becky on very quickly. Tim Skubick, who's the host of Off the Record with Tim Skubick at WKAR and in East Lansing, and also shows up in MLive. And he is now an FOS, an official friend of the show. We like Tim. He's a very, very cool political commentator. And as we get closer to the election, Roger, it's going to be more and more fun to talk with him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He really is. I was interested in his answer. I didn't think they'd pass all three, but he says yes.
And he's right there in Lansing. Yeah. So he hears things.
Yes, indeed. All right, another wrinkle in the pension issue in Detroit. Yes, we couldn't go a day without a Detroit story.
And an ugly wrinkle.
And an ugly wrinkle, very ugly. We will talk about that next. It is the Trifecta 590 WKZO.
Leaders at Covert's.
Still haven't figured it out yet, have you?
No.
This is a great song, by the way. A group called The Firm. It's Radioactive.
Yeah.
Great song.
When was this?
I think the 80s.
I'm asking you.
I think it was the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to remember what day or what year. But so you still haven't figured it out? You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Okay. All of the songs that I'm playing today, I heard today driving into work on Sirius XM. So.
How would I figure that out?
Well, I don't know. So, quickly, let's talk about this real quick, and then we're going to give away some movie tickets.
Oh, yeah. Ready? And we know what movie we're giving tickets away to.
Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters. Yes.
I saw the previews for that.
Pretty good, actually. Yeah. The pension situation in Detroit is one that's being followed by a lot of people. If Detroit has their way, that's going to be one of the things that goes, or, you know, the Kevin with a Y. One of the things that they have an issue with is if pensions are cut, and we've talked about this before, there are thousands of retirees in the city of Detroit. They're not eligible to receive Social Security. They did not have Social Security taken out of their checks because of the way their benefit system was set up. The plan didn't, when Social Security was first instituted way back under the Roosevelt administration, the plan didn't cover workers with a public pension.
Because they didn't need it.
No, states could opt in, Michigan did, but each city, township, county, school board, or other local government entity also has to join. And in Detroit, they didn't. Now, we're talking about 44% of all the city of Detroit's pensioners. That there's a chance that if this thing gets cut, their whole source of income is going to get cut. This throws a whole new curveball into this.
How are these people going to live?
I don't know. That's just it. And they worked under the assumption that their pension was going to be where it was.
Well, that was the assumption that all governmental workers made, that they didn't make the money that was made in the private sector, but they got job security and a retirement. That was a big part of why you would take a government job at the lower wages that they pay.
Yes. So, there are about 20,000 city retirees now collecting in pensions. 9,017 of them don't get Social Security, or about 44%, as we said. Now, those who did spend a part of their careers working in the private sector and part under a public also take a hit to their Social Security payments because the amount of their public pension will offset the amount of the benefits they get from the Social Security system that reduces their monthly payments.
Oh, nice.
This throws a new wrinkle into things. You know, we're not just talking about people, because the comment was, well, if their pensions get cut, they still have Social Security to help fall on. No, they don't. and this is going to be a new wrinkle, or an old wrinkle, as it were. But it's going to come to the surface here really, really quickly. And one of the arguments they're going to make probably when this thing goes to bankruptcy court, and I think that's why maybe the federal judge is why the state's going to fight so long and hard to try to maintain, like Bill Schuette, the attorney general, who's trying to maintain these pensions in their full amount, and this is probably the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, it's going to happen. So, do you want to give away some passes there, Senior?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, here's the deal.
And one of Jim's impossibly
stupid
trivia questions.
We have five pairs of passes to Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters at Celebration Cinema. And what we're going to do is ask you an impossibly stupid trivia question, and here it is. 80373 is the number to text to. There are three games, and I'll even tell you, two of them are card games. One is a table game, family game, okay?
Uh-huh.
In which the term Yarborough, Yarborough,
Glenn Yarborough?
Not Glenn, no.
Oh, okay.
Just Yarborough.
Okay.
Is used. Okay, now here's what you have to do. You have to text the name of one of those games and your first and last name.
So all in one text.
All in one text. So the name of one of the three games that uses the term Yarborough, okay, and your first and last name, and you will win passes to go see Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters. And I'm sure there are people just whipping around the internet right now looking it up.
Is strip poker one of those games?
No, it's not.
Okay.
No.
I'm just asking.
No, it's not.
You inquiring play strip poker?
Mice. Not that I really would care to be there, but, you know.
No.
Okay.
I had people giving me chips.
Oh.
Put it on.
80373 is where you text, and you the name of one of the three games. And again, as I said, two of them are card games. One of them is a table family type game, stuff like that. Okay, and that's what I want. So if you
Gets what he wants,
yeah, one of five pairs of passes to see Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
At Celebration Cinema.
Celebration Cinema.
For free.
Yeah.
From us.
We're going to talk about marijuana next.
Really?
Yeah, I love marijuana.
You do?
Well, I don't, but we love talking about it.
Oh.
All right.
I'm just asking.
We'll do that next. It is the Trifecta, 590 WKZO. Music's going to play here in a second.
Really?
Yeah, I promise.
I like it when we hold our bumper music too well into the show.
Yeah. I heard this one today, too.
They played one good song.
One, two. All right. I always think of that movie, Night Shift.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's driving down the parkway.
Yeah.
Opens up his trunk and all his trash flies out.
Yeah.
That is one of Michael Keaton's best movies.
Yes. I agree.
Mr. Mom is, too. Did you ever see The Paper?
No.
Has Marissa Tomei and Michael Keaton, and there's a bunch of Glenn Close, I think, is in it. Good movie. Good movie about a newspaper and how it can just envelop you. So, anyway, it is the Trifecta 590 WKZO. I want to congratulate some people. Mike, Deb, Doug, Ann, and Karen. I'll pick up tickets to go see Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, and a special note about Karen. She was the only one who guessed the non-card game. The two card games were a Yarborough is indicated as bridge, contract bridge, and whist. Now, in bridge, it's originally, because it was named after the Earl of Yarborough. I know everybody's snoring and sleeping all over, but you're going to hear it anyway.
The Earl of Yarborough,
who basically stipulated that he couldn't have gotten a worse hand. And in bridge, I believe it's a hand where all of your cards are a nine. And the odds are like, I don't know what it is against it. But anyway, it's the lowest rated hand you can get on either whist or bridge. Okay. But Karen came up with the other one, that being a 70s dice game similar to Yahtzee called Kismet. And Kismet, a Yarborough, was the next, it was the second highest thing you could get. A Yarborough.
That was okay.
So look it up on Wikipedia if you want to, because it's there. Kismet, it was a game in the 70s. Had dice that had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but 1 and 2 were one color, 2 and 3 and 4 were another color, 5 and 6 were another color. And so that's how you got your combination. It was really cool. So, but anyway, thanks, Karen. You were the one who came up with Kismet.
Does she get a special?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but I'm...
She just
I'm,
gets a tip of the hat.
But I'm yes.
Okay.
A tip of the hat.
I was just checking.
Okay. And remember, you can pick your tickets up here at the station, 4200 West Main, Monday through Friday between 8 and 4:30. So you can't get them now, but you can get them tomorrow morning or whenever. So come on over and pick them up. So congratulations to all of you. Yes.
Well, I don't think the movie's on yet.
No, I think it starts Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've got time.
You got time.
You got time. You want to talk about marijuana?
Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about marijuana. You know the decriminalization petitions, right?
Yeah, they're all over the place nowadays.
Well, get this. We have State Representative Mike Shirky, State Representative Jeff Irwin, and a former prosecutor, James Aguirre, okay,
uh-huh,
who are getting together at Grass Lake Township Hall tomorrow.
No pun intended, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. The band's been sleeping for a while, okay? You gotta, you know, let them know when we want to chime in here. To talk about whether or not decriminalization maybe ought to take one step further and go to legalization.
Well, the war on drugs has gone so well so far.
Oh, I know.
Why wouldn't we want to continue putting billions of dollars into it and having even more of our fellow citizens locked up for nonviolent crimes?
Now, there is there is a petition, or more than 550 residents in the city of Jackson have turned in a petition to decriminalize marijuana, and that could go to a public vote as early as this November. Irwin has introduced a statewide bill that would make the possession of up to an ounce of marijuana a civil infraction in the state of Michigan, which, of course, we here in Kalamazoo have already done. I think Grand Rapids has as well. Detroit has as well. It's a hot-button issue, but, you know, I still think it's one that needs to be looked at because, and we've talked, you know, with Chief Hadley before about this. And we, you know,
well, it was his idea.
It was his idea to do this, and the simple fact of the matter is that it's making things easier because you're not tying up manpower, and it's not like if somebody gets caught with five lids in their trunk that they're going to get a traffic ticket. No, it's a specific. It's 1 ounce or less, which is, tell you, is that that's like a joint, right, Raj?
An ounce would be a pretty good size joint.
A pretty good size joint. Okay. So anyway, 1 ounce or less, civil infraction. Yes, it's still. I mean, and the simple fact of the matter is, it's not like you can just walk away. It does still go on your record, but you don't tie up resources with this. It just it doesn't happen. So you go to, you know, they go in front of a magistrate or a judge and they say, okay, bam, 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 we're fines and whole nine yards. Boom, you're gone.
Well, prohibition worked so well.
Well, yeah, and we wouldn't have, you know, we wouldn't have, what do you call it? We wouldn't have gangsters, you know.
Oh, no, we will. We would. Gangsters are in the business of supplying what is illegal. And so the more things you make illegal, the more opportunities you're creating for organized crime.
Now,
you have to have a crime to have organized crime.
Yeah, that's true. But the gangsters really didn't pop up until Prohibition.
Well, now, we just made them incredibly successful. They had money.
Somebody said if a marijuana were legal, okay, where would anybody work? It's almost impossible to get a good job if you test positive for marijuana. That's because it's illegal. Okay? We're going to play connect the dots here at some point in time, okay? We really do. Come on. You know, this is like, yeah, if they make it legal, then employers, yeah, they can, you know, employers could make airline pilots, for instance, for crying out loud, you know, they can't have alcohol in their system so many hours before, you know, they fly.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. Employers can make the rules and they can say, well, look, if you want to work here, you can't have marijuana in your system, you know, 24 hours. Okay? So you smoke on the weekends.
Many employers now won't hire smokers because they don't want to. And they could include marijuana smoking if they chose to.
Yeah.
There's no, you could still test all your applicants if you want.
Yeah.
And if smoking cigarettes is legal, mm-hmm. and yet many companies and educational institutions won't hire anybody that smokes tobacco.
And I believe there are people that have been fired because they tested positive for nicotine, or they were caught smoking when they weren't supposed to, or whatnot. So, you know, yeah. I know it's a great big slippery slope, but we still got to work towards it.
Have we ever had very many calls from listeners on this?
You know, it really surprises me that we don't.
You know, are we the only ones who think that we're wasting billions of dollars and that we need to quit screwing around with some of this stuff?
Someone said an ounce of pot is like a half a sandwich bag. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Wait, legal pot user teachers? Yeah, and cops and political people and the thing is, I don't think if they legalized marijuana that people, it would be like reefer madness. Seriously. I mean, you really think that the entire country is going to rush to want to buy marijuana? There are still people who aren't going to, that are going to have the Jack Webb theory on marijuana, and it is the bane of everybody's existence.
I think that most people who want to smoke marijuana are.
And those who aren't gonna. You know, I just think if we're gonna look at decriminalization, that's fine. But let's look at possible legalization as well. I mean, it's not going to hurt to look at it. And if people don't want it, then fine. You make it a state's issue, fine, and let states vote on it, just like they're voting, it seems to be, on abortion issues and on same-sex marriage and everything else. Let the states deal with it.
Well, you said it's not going to hurt people to look at it. Jim, you have to smoke marijuana for it to have an effect on you.
Well, I realize that.
Oh.
But I mean, to look at possibly legalizing it's not going to hurt to look at that. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. I don't understand, everybody's push to prohibit, you know, it seems like the big push is to prohibit smoking and to legalize marijuana, or at least liberalize.
Seems like it, doesn't it?
Marijuana's use. And I don't get it because, you know, I I've never been a smoker and I've never done drugs and I don't get the people who obsess about either one of those, but it seems to me that all the non-smokers become smoking Nazis and people who don't have any idea about pot or hemp or, you know, they're the ones who make the decisions regarding it. And it's, you know, I know I work around a lot of people who do marijuana and, you know, I'd rather see them doing marijuana than alcohol, because I think they're a lot less dangerous with marijuana.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. I have never seen a mean person who, after they've smoked marijuana, they usually want or hungry or they want to go to sleep.
I do know some people who that is their gateway drug. Not that, you know, they do pot and then they immediately, you know, start smoking crack, but that because of the element they're in, you know, one thing leads to another, and they're in a CD element, and next thing you know, they're trying, you know, meth or crack. And so I think there's some people who can't be around marijuana, at least the way it's the underbelly of society right now.
No, and I agree with you 100%.
There's some people who can't be around alcohol.
The point that you just made, when I said earlier the Jack Webb theory of marijuana, those people who remember the show Dragnet 67, 68, 69, 70, there's one episode of Dragnet that I absolutely refuse to watch because I watched it once and it shocked me so badly, I won't watch it again. It's called The Big High.
What was it about?
There was a young couple that smoked marijuana, and the end of the show was that, and this is the hard part because it was actually a true story, because none of those stories were made up. They were all taken from, you know, cases. Yeah. They walked into the bathroom, and their baby daughter died in the drowned in the bathtub because they were high. And that's the kind of story that Jack Webb put through. If you watched his shows, the marijuana was the gateway drug. It was the bane of drug users' existence, and that's the way. And he interjected that periodically, but he would use real stories to do it.
I would be very interested to see historically where it went south for pot and hemp.
Yeah,
you know what you know. Our society has a tendency to evolve, and you know. A lot of people think it's all for good, but apparently some of it is not for good.
Well, you know, even if they don't legalize marijuana, Chris, they need to legalize hemp. Because you can't smoke hemp, and there's so many things we can do with it.
Yeah, that would be interesting as well. But why is there such, reefer madness why are people so paranoid about legalizing marijuana?
Because there's a lot of misinformation out there, Chris.
On both sides.
Even Sanjay Gupta says he got snookered by the DEA.
Yeah. Well, but I would say, you know, there's a lot of studies long term that display negative effects, both physical and mental, from prolonged marijuana use. And I mean, it's the same has got to be true with, you know, alcohol and tobacco.
This
you know,
is true.
Any drug that you do long term is going to have a negative effect. So we really need to make a decision based on, we have a lot of people who function in our society completely drunk their entire life and they're not criminals, but somebody who smokes dope, you know, twice a day without a medical marijuana license or even at the federal level, you know, they're breaking the law and that needs to change. But, you know, Roger, you should look up the historical when did hemp and marijuana go south? Because they used to be both acceptable.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, we will.
Well, I know.
We will. And thanks, Chris. We appreciate it very much.
Chris, and I know who supplied the majority of the money to oppose medical marijuana in California, and it was the adult beverage industry.
Oh, yeah.
The beer and wine manufacturers didn't want to see marijuana.
No, they didn't. All right, Meg, you get the last word. You there?
Oh, hello.
Hi,
Meg.
You get the last word.
Okay. I just wanted to say, number one, I agree with the legalization, and I do not smoke marijuana. And number two, I think there's a real dilemma with the employers, with the drug testing for qualification for employment, which I've had to go through a couple of times in the past couple of years. They're very stringent, and it's so funny because the alcohol leaves your system within, 6 to 12 hours if you drink enough water or whatever. I mean, it's gone. But the marijuana is not gone, and they've resorted to many employers are hair follicle testing now, which is extremely expensive. And that's how, adamant they are about not wanting them, employees. And the marijuana does not leave the urine for I don't know how long.
Oh, it's
a long time.
It's a long time.
30 days or
longer.
They
used to test us in the Army, and you could have smoked 20 days before and it would show up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
things would have to change just major.
Yeah. They would. And thank you, Meg. We appreciate it. You know, the thing is, Raj, her point is very well taken. And so was Chris's for that matter. The thing about, the testing is that some scientists or somebody are going to have to come out and they're going to have to indicate at what point in time the level of marijuana or the THC in your blood coincides with when it's not active anymore or it's not having an effect on you. When does the high stop?
Yeah.
You know, they've done it with alcohol. Now they have to do it with, they're going to have to do it with marijuana if they're even thinking about legalizing.
We can measure alcohol very accurately.
Yeah, so we're going to have to do the same thing with marijuana. All right, Mr. Sports, you ready?
Yeah, I've got my Mr. Sports
hat
on.
All right. Coming up, we're going to talk real quick sports and then wrap up the show. It is the trifecta.
Two good songs in a show.
I heard this one on 96.5, so.
I hear a lot of good stuff on 96.5.
I do, too. I love this song, though. Serena Ryder.
Well, yeah.
Good stuff. All right, we're getting ready to wrap up the trifecta for this Tuesday. Roger is smiling because we do not have a show tomorrow.
Oh,
we have Major League Baseball, the Tigers.
Heartbroken.
Tigers are playing at 1:45 tomorrow. Tonight they play, I believe, at 7:45 on 590 WKZO as they take on the White Sox. Then they'll play afternoon tomorrow, 1:45 airtime, 2:05 first pitch. Okay,
I'm just going to come in and sit here for drill.
Yeah, like heck you are.
Uh-huh.
You and Carolyn are going to go out and sample the beer.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got Miguel Cabrera won the Triple Crown last year. Okay, home runs, average, RBIs. And he's on pace to possibly do it again. So, Mr. Sports, here is your question.
He plays for Detroit.
He plays for the Tigers, yes, indeed. Has anybody ever repeated as the Triple Crown winner?
Yes.
No. Nobody has ever done it. Ever. So Cabrera would be the first.
Oh.
Now, the closest person to doing it was actually a Detroit Tiger at one time, too, Ty Cobb. He won the Triple Crown one year. The next year, he finished second in every category. But as it stands now, Cabrera is leading in average and RBIs and trails Chris Davis of Baltimore by 6 home runs, which he could probably make up in not too much. And he's missed 15 games.
How can the Tigers have had so many superstars and so few World Series wins?
Because the Yankees had more.
Oh.
Yeah.
I get it.
we had superstars. We really did. And we had some really, really good players. But Yankees had more. On many occasions they had more. So anyway, Cabrera and his buddies tonight take on Chicago at U.S. Cellular Field, 7:45 airtime here on 590 WKZO. So we will talk to you again Thursday. 3, 5 o'clock afternoon. News is next. Have yourselves a wonderful day. We'll talk to you on Thursday in the trifecta. 590 WKZO.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.